think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down! Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE Factory Approved Warehouse Outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. Missed the first hour? A lot of good stuff. We had an English guy on, talk a little soccer. We got some football in there, and we did a little baseball there at the end, which we're going to get back into. And also, just to let you know, there's still a few spots left in the FanDuel League if you want to get in. It's FanDuel.com/Fowler. We filled 250 people the last 2 weeks, so we boosted it to 300 this week.
Nice.
So hopefully we'll fill that, and it'll be more money for everybody who wins anyway. I'm donating. That's what I'm doing, donating my $5.
Very nice of you.
Yeah, because I love the people. Man, I don't know who this is. I guess she's their sideline reporter for ESPN or whatever, who's reporting from the game tonight. Really cute. Worst haircut I've ever seen. She's got like half
of her.
You're
not to talk about women's hair.
I'm sorry, man. If you're going to get on TV and your head's going to look like that, you know, trust me, the people will see it and they'll agree with me.
I was going to go somewhere. I don't want to go there.
She is really cute, but she's messing up that look. I'm just telling you. Anyway, 713-780-ESPN. All right, let's do baseball for once. I know we never do baseball, according to Astros fans. We never mention them.
Never.
Not once.
Never.
But let's do a little baseball.
Well, obviously, the loss last night. You want to start with Astros? I mean, the loss last night put them in.
The Astros will be 3.5 back when the Rangers come in tomorrow.
It's looking that way because the Rangers are up by 5 runs. It looks like they're going to hold on and take that thing. I don't want to say it's bleak, but it ain't good right now for the Astros. I'm even talking about their chances to make the playoffs at this point.
No, I agree, and I'll just throw something else out there. They have not played well against the Rangers all year. It's more likely they get swept than they actually pull off a sweep.
Oh, I agree.
Even at home, because the Rangers have dominated them all year, and if they lose 3 games to them, there's a good chance they're missing the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, okay. I got to ask you this because I was listening to Granato and Raheel a little bit today.
With Dell.
And I heard them talking about, and Granato is like a super homer with everything in Houston. So you can't get a real legit answer out of him because he thinks the Astros are going to win every game to finish the season and they're going to win the World
Texans
Series.
Are going to be 14-2.
Right. But they asked him if the Astros don't make the playoffs, is it a disappointing year? He said no. And at the beginning of the season, I think I would have agreed with him. Like if you told me the Astros are going to win 84 games, I would have said, man, that's pretty awesome. Now, if they win 84 games and miss the playoffs, I think maybe my expectations were adjusted at some point when they had this huge division lead. And now, I mean, while obviously it's a step in the right direction and this team is improving leaps and bounds over what expectation was, it's still going to be disappointing. That's a tough pill to swallow when you were locked in basically to the playoffs and then.
Well, I don't know. I guess I've been around these baseball races long enough when the Astros were actually in them all the time. You can never be locked in unless you're 15 games. Like, you know what?
Unless you're the Cardinals.
Yeah. Otherwise, we see it every year. And especially if it's only 5 or 6 games, 2 bad weeks and that's gone.
Yeah.
And they're still a very young team that this is very new to. So you knew there was going to be some fading. I just didn't expect it to be this bad because they're playing like a very bad baseball team right now. And this is the wrong time to be doing it. But I think there's some more interesting stuff going on besides them, especially in the American League. But as it stands now, depending on what happens this weekend, I think we'll know whether if they can win two out of three, they'll probably make the playoffs because they should be able to go 500 the rest of the way, and that should be good enough.
Right.
If they don't, they lose two out of three, I think they're up against it. And I think it's a disappointment because with that extra wild card, you don't really have to be that good to make the playoffs. And with the moves they made at the trade deadline, and the Gomez thing hasn't worked out because of injuries, but I thought they were safely in at that point as long as they got some contributions from those guys. And you did get a no-hitter out of Fires, but Kazmir has not been what you traded for.
No.
He was right at first, and I think that would be the disappointment to me because if you'd gotten the Scott Kazmir that you went out and brought in that you thought you were getting, then they'd still be at least close to the Rangers at this point. They'd either be tied or still up. They wouldn't be 3.5 games back, which is where they're going to be in about 30 minutes. So, you know, that's the disappointing thing to me is that those things didn't work out, and I thought they were all really good moves.
Right.
But as far as the season itself, hey, man, it depends. If this is a stepping stone to them taking another step next year, then okay. And maybe bring it. They've got to get a couple more hitters, whether it's internally or where they go out and get somebody. They need a guy who gets on base consistently and makes contact somewhere in this lineup. And if they can do something like that, great. But you know, I'd be a little disappointed in them missing the playoffs because nothing's guaranteed. We saw that with the Nationals, right? When they decided to sit Strasburg that year.
Yep.
That you could have been a World Series champion that year. What happens? You know, there's no guarantee of getting back. So I would say it's a disappointment based on the results of the season and the moves they made to try to stay ahead of the curve. Based on what I thought they were going to be from the beginning of the season, it was also a pleasant surprise.
Okay.
So it's
so I know you're saying it can be both.
It can be both. But in the end, when the season's over, I think I'll be disappointed, especially with a plus 93 run differential.
That's pretty hard to do.
Yeah, you're going to miss the playoffs with that. Maybe. What I think is interesting, the other team I really like, Jays have almost caught the Royals for the best record.
They have. The Royals haven't been playing their best baseball. They've been slumping lately. Although the Blue Jays haven't been playing their best ball either. But the Royals have kind of been down, and they just lost their closer for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And probably, Greg Holland's probably not going to be a Royal anymore because he's going to have Tommy John surgery, and this was a contract year for him. So I'm guessing he ends up somewhere else. Fortunately for them, they've got arguably the best eighth inning guy you can have in Wade Davis, who is just a freak show.
Yeah.
So he's going to be their ninth inning guy. But the bullpen was a big reason why they made it as far as they did last year. And, you know, Greg Holland was a big piece of that. That's tough to lose. The Blue Jays, to me, they're the best team offensively. I mean, they can out-hit everybody.
I don't know if they have enough pitching.
I specifically don't know about their bullpen. Like, yeah. And if you look at like bullpen ERA and things like that, the Blue Jays they're solid. They're like fifth or sixth in the American League, but there's not one name in that bullpen that I'm like, yeah, I definitely trust that guy to get outs in October. You know what I mean? There's not a guy who's been there and done that and proven it to me.
And that's the one area they didn't fix at the trade deadline.
Yeah,
they did a great job getting David Price. Did a great job getting Tulo. But they really needed a closer. I mean, a legitimate closer who'd been there before.
And Marcus Stroman is pitching out of his mind right now. So the Jays have some solid starting pitching. They can hit all over the place. But you know in the playoffs you have to have a strong bullpen. And I just don't know if I trust their bullpen. And that's all relative. I mean, do I trust their bullpen compared to the Yankees or the Royals bullpen? No. But those are probably the two best bullpens there are.
Not according to Stephen A. Smith, because you know he just wishes Mariano Rivera was still here and some guy who's not a closer was non-closer giving up solo shots in the bottom of the eighth or bottom of the ninth.
Well, Stephen A. Smith, trust me, Andrew Miller and Dellin Betances aren't losing sleep because Stephen A. Smith doesn't like them as much as Mariano Rivera.
Yeah, that non-closer is 34 out of 36 on saves this year.
Yeah, what a bum. but I think that it's going to be an interesting AL playoff. The NL, maybe even more interesting to me. The Cardinals and Pirates are clinched. I think we can pretty much, I don't know, I guess it's not statistically decided yet. I think one more win, and it is statistically decided that the Cubs are going to be the other wild card team.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and project them as the other wild card team.
What's crazy is the Pirates are probably going to have 7 more wins than any of the other, than the Mets or the Dodgers, yeah, who are going to win their division. And they're going to have to play a play-in game to see if they can actually play a series. I'll say this, though, and I kind of wanted the Giants to catch up with them all year. The Giants just aren't going to do it. The Giants aren't as good as they were last year. They're good. They're not as good as they were. I don't know if it's Hunter Pence or what. I mean, they're not the same team.
No more Kung Fu Panda. That's what it is.
Well, whatever it is, they're not making the playoffs. No. And the Dodgers I'm really hoping the Pirates are in the World Series. That's the team I like of these. The Cubs would be interesting to me, too.
Yeah, just because. Because
of the Cubs.
But you know what? That would also be the worst, because that would be on ESPN 24/7. Oh, that's Cubs true. First time since.
Yeah. You know what would be worse is if the Cubs almost made it, and then some guy reached into the stands and like knocked the ball away.
Oh, that would be awesome. And as a matter of fact,
we'd see that for years to come.
If we get to a Game 7, I want to fly to Chicago and just try to get out there and grab an outfielder.
But I think the Dodgers, and obviously the Cardinals are the team to beat, but when you've got Greinke and Kershaw 1-2, the way they're pitching, and Kershaw gave up a few runs today, but I mean, in the last 2 months, that guy's given up like a handful of runs. That's going to be tough, dude. That's a tough team to beat in a playoff series.
Well, you know what, though? The difference is, and I love Kershaw, he's got to do it in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's, and if he does, with those two, that's a very scary team, because you're going to win 3 out of 4 games with those two pitching.
Yeah.
And if you're doing that, you're going to be very hard to beat. But Kershaw's got to pitch like regular season Kershaw. There's some more to get to here. We'll Texter says, Cueto trade more disappointing than Kazmir. Yeah, he's been.
Cueto hasn't been good, although he's getting a little bit better now.
Yeah.
But yeah, he hasn't been what they'd hoped either.
That's
the life when you switch from the NL to the AL, though. It gets tougher.
You know what's going to suck? You're a pitcher. Suck for the Pirates. Somebody just pointed out they're going to have to face Arrieta in the first game.
Yeah.
But
although Garrett Cole's no slouch.
No, but.
But the Cubs, unlike the Astros, the Cubs clinching that wild card spot now, that lets them set up their rotation right, the way they want to. The Astros, if they do make the playoffs, they're going to make it on the last day of the season. And that means Keuchel is probably going to pitch either that game or the game before that, and he won't be ready to go on that wild card play-in game.
All right, we are going to take a very quick break. I want to get to some of your guys' tweets and texts here when we come back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, be happy to take your phone calls. Boy, I don't know if the – so who do you think comes out of the American League?
I still think the Royals are the team to beat. I
like how they can create runs in terms of the Jays are just going to bludgeon you to death.
Yeah.
But the one thing the Royals can do is create runs in a tight game better than the other teams, and that's one of the reasons they got to the World Series last year.
I'll go Royals or Blue Jays. I gun to head, I would say Royals, but I feel the Blue Jays are right there, and I think the Yankees are just a smidge behind them, even though I'm not crazy about their starting pitching, but their bullpen is so good.
Yeah,
get 5 innings and the game's over, you know? And they're not the Blue Jays, but their bats are still massive, and especially in the second half of the season have been especially good. That kid they brought up, Greg Bird, who's been playing first base for them since Teixeira got hurt, is a stud. That dude's already got like 10, 11 home runs in 120
at
bats.
They haven't missed a beat.
Yeah, so they can hit with anybody. I question their pitching, their starting pitching. I think I would say the Royals over the Blue Jays, though, just because I trust the Royals' bullpen more. Even without Holland, I trust their bullpen more.
I think a lot depends on, you know, how healthy Tulowitzki is when he comes back, because he had so much to that offense that's already. The one thing is, though, is I do think if the Royals can play them in close games, the Royals will find ways to win because of the bullpen and because they can scrape cross runs. Yeah. But if it turns into a 5-0 lead off the bat or something, they're in trouble.
National League, I could really see anybody except the Mets doing it. Well, and probably not the Cubs, but I could see the Cardinals, the Pirates, or the Dodgers. I want to say the Pirates, but it's so hard to pick a team that you know is going to be the wild card to go to the World Series, because that one game, and especially like we were talking about having to go against Arrieta, that's no joke. I want to say the Pirates, but I'll probably just chicken out and say the Cardinals.
I'll take the Dodgers just to be different.
All right.
But I don't have a real good feel for the National League.
The Pirates win against the Cubs, I'll take the Pirates. I'll take them if they get into the, like, to where they're playing series, full series against teams. But it's hard for me to pick a wild. That's why the Yankees, too. It's hard for me to pick them to do anything, because who knows if they'll win that one game. It's there's so much that rides on that, which I think is kind of cool. But at the same time, it sucks. It's cool for the new fifth team, but it sucks for that wild card team that it used to be like.
Yeah.
You know, you won the wild card, you were in, and now you win the wild card, and
you get to play another game.
You got to play another game to even have a shot. So, and I feel especially bad for the Pirates, because the Pirates are the second best team in baseball. They're not the second best team in their division or even in the league. They're four games better than the best team in the American League. They play in the toughest division in baseball, and they're going to have to play a play-in game.
Well, that's not much you can do about that.
That's tough.
It's like playing in the Western Conference in the NBA.
Yep.
You know, that's the way the chips fell.
And when I say the toughest division, I mean like with good teams. I know the AL West it's tight. I think there's like the top four are all within 10 games of each other. But the three best records in the National League, in fact, the three best records in baseball right now are all in the NL Central. Which is crazy to think back. I mean, when the Astros were in that division, there was the Cardinals and a bunch of scrubs.
What knucklehead from Houston, Texas would be calling me at 5:25?
I don't know. You should answer it.
Come on, man.
Put him on speaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, just trying to do a show here. They've called like three times. 713-780-ESPN, your numbers. Everybody keeps... You know, mentioning that Back to the Future did predict the Cubs would win this year.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, that was part of that sports almanac.
If I thought Back to the Future was an oracle, I would maybe put some weight into that. But that Back to the Future, like Michael J. Fox isn't going to go, you know, pay my mortgage if I take that to the ticket window. I don't think he's going to do that for me. So
yeah, Pirates didn't win their division. Period. Don't deserve to play full series. Yeah, except...
They don't, except they're better than all these other teams.
Yeah, and, you know,
3 years ago, they would have gotten their own series.
3 years ago, they would have. And, you know, they probably would have... But, hey, wild card teams made it last year. They could certainly do it again.
Yep.
All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little fantasy. So if you've got fantasy questions, again, not should I start this guy over this guy, but anything about building your lineup, things like that. We'll also talk a little bit about FanDuel. Just text them to 713-780-3776. Christopher Harris joins us next. It's The Blitz on ESPN 975.
And grab your jock.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz Fantasy Football segment brought to you by FanDuel. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. We'll get back to your phone calls in a bit. Right now, as we do every Thursday at this time.
I was watching a giant pancake get made.
Oh.
Yeah. It's stuffed with like brownies and chocolate chip cookies and bacon and Nutella.
Okay.
That's what I was doing during my break.
I see.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the guest line where fantasy football expert Christopher Harris, who runs harrisfootball.com and a wildly successful daily podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at @harrisfootball. Christopher, how are you, sir?
I am very, very well. Thank you very much for having me back on.
All right, Chris, before we get to general questions and other people's problems, I watched the Redskins last week, and Matt Jones is a better player than Alfred Morris. That guy is big and fast, and I assume they're going to continue to split carries for a while, but eventually he's going to take that job from Alfred Morris, it looks like. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think he takes the job. I think today's NFL doesn't have that many true feature backs, and he's still a rookie, and who knows how he dealt with week one of success. You know, I'm remembering Jonas Gray being everybody's favorite running back for 1 week, and then, you know, apparently...
But he's a Patriots running back. That doesn't count.
You know, he overslept, and... But he's not going anywhere. It was legit. You know, you watch the tape, and... I don't know if he's a better player, but he's a similar kind of player, maybe a little bigger, and he can catch the ball. And so it seems like fantasy-wise, there's a potential for him to be more versatile. He definitely needs to be owned in all leagues. If he's not owned in your league, pick him up. And, you know, we'll see tonight. Does the usage stay the same? You know, week one, he was awfully quiet. So, you know, wouldn't be the first time we'd ever seen a rookie, you know, sort of ebb and flow a little bit.
Which one, if you had to play one tonight, which one are you going with?
I think it's still Morris because... I still trust the workload. He's the veteran, the player that they're going to trust him, you know, when they absolutely need it. Jones was explosive on his two touchdowns. Well, the one touchdown he was very explosive. The other, you know, sort of just game flow. He was in the game and they were rolling the way they were rolling. But I think when they're on the 1 yard line, as good as Jones looks eventually, I have a feeling it's still going to be Morris.
Chris, for your level of concern, I'm going to throw three names out there, guys that you might consider jettisoning or you just hang on to, you know, maybe you try to trade them, but C.J. Anderson, Andre Johnson, Jeremy Hill. What's your level of panic with those guys individually?
So I'll go from least panic to most panic. Jeremy Hill, I probably have the least panic on there. He did get benched in the second half last week because of a second fumble, and that's never good. And, you know, folks who thought that maybe he was going to lead the NFL in carries, maybe were jumping the gun a little bit. Gio Bernard's looked good for 2 weeks, but, you know, I don't try to listen to what coaches say. I just think it's a losing game, but the Bengals seem to be ready to go back to Hill. I hope he doesn't fumble again this week. You know, I think he's the big back there and a decent bet to bounce back. My middle level of panic, I guess, neither one's good. I'll say Andre Johnson only because you didn't pay like a first or second round pick for him. But, you know, it isn't good. I would say Dante Moncrief looks like a better version of Andre Johnson to me. Not seeing a lot of separation from AJ. You know, you guys remember last year, you know, in the second half of last year, we saw a similar story when he was with the Texans. And I don't think I want him in my starting lineup right now. I don't think I need to cut him. And then that would leave C.J. Anderson because, you know, everybody did pay. He was supposed to be your number one back, you know. There's a lot of panic there. You know, I don't think you can trade him because you're not going to get anything close to fair value. You certainly can't cut him because, you know, most leagues there just isn't quality available. Maybe you just cross your fingers and hope that they figure something out against not a great Lions run defense on Sunday night. But, yeah, I feel like it's sort of a hole that you're going to have to try to hope he can dig his way out of.
What about Justin Forsett, Lamar Miller, these sort of second-tier running backs? You big concerns for them?
I've had concerns for Forsett, you know, all summer. Somebody I just didn't want to draft. I felt like the Ravens were going to look for an excuse to have a big back attached to him. You know, he's just such a small guy. We on the podcast have likened him somewhat to Steve Slayton, and we remember what Slayton's first season was like, you know, in Houston. It was such a great season, but he's such a little dude, and, you know, he hurts his neck, and he's never the same, and, you know, Forsett's now going to be 30. I feel like that's not a winning situation. You know, if you could still get a ton of value for him, I might consider trading him.
Talaferro or Buck Allen, if you want a piece of that Ravens backfield, which other guy would you prefer to have?
I guess I'd prefer to have Talaferro, even though now he's battling a foot injury after having his knee injured. I would say, you know, Talaferro is cheap. I'm not saying I'm starting him right away, but I think there's a chance he works his way into a primary job at some point. Just quickly about Miller, you know, he's dealing with an injury. He's not really a full-time back in the traditional sense. He's not getting 20 touches a game, but I think he'll last longer this season.
Christopher, there's with DeAndre Hopkins sitting out of practice, maybe not playing this week, is there anyone on the Texans offense this week that's even worth considering?
Assuming Arian Foster isn't coming back, no. You know, Hopkins is going to be a mystery. I think if he's out there, you just use him. It didn't go well last week. It went well in week one. But, you know, I think we even talked about this last week. Like, can Ryan Mallett do what Brian Hoyer did that first week? And, you know, I don't care whose tape you like better. Neither one is any good. You know, the problem there is just there's no quarterback. And for there being no quarterback, it's just real tough to trust anyone.
All right, let's do our FanDuel 5. We've been doing this every week since we're sponsored by FanDuel in this segment, where I give you five guys that are relative bargains, and you tell me whether or not they're worth using. So I've got wide receivers for you this week, and all of them under 6,500. So, and starting at the top of that is Jeremy Maclin, who's exactly at 6,500.
Yeah, I think Jeremy Macklin's a good fantasy play most weeks. Alex Smith certainly hurts him, because he's not going to throw it down the field that much, but he's very involved in the game plan, so I feel like the floor should be pretty high.
How about Torrey Smith at 6,400?
Less interested, because you need the one big play. I mean, I guess for the GPP, you know, if you're trying to win $1 million, that kind of player can be very good for you, because not a lot of folks will pick him. But I feel like maybe his value is a little overvalued this week, just because he made the big play last week.
And not the easiest matchup this week either.
Yeah.
True. He could see a little Mr. Peterson.
A guy who had a pretty good week last week at 6K, Michael Crabtree.
Yeah, if I'm choosing at 6K, maybe I go Doug Baldwin over Crabtree. You know, Crabtree definitely had some volume, but I don't love the Raiders' offense. I thought Derek Carr, you know, they won the game and he had the winning drive, but I think he makes a lot of mistakes. I keep looking at that Seattle-Chicago matchup and thinking, how can I get a piece of that one? If I was going to pick one for 6K, I think I'd take Doug Baldwin over Crabtree.
Mike Wallace at 5,800.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see the Vikings throw it more before I feel like I relied too much on him. Another guy who can certainly make one big play and make your week, but I think there are better places you can spend your money.
Yeah, and I think they're going to run the ball a lot against the Chargers. How about, finally, Travis Benjamin, 5,600.
He's a hot name this week. I mean, really,
yeah,
any
that's because the Raiders' safeties are so...
I just say, seven catches all year, you know. It's, of course, he can make big plays. We know he's fast. You need, like, a long pass where it's a broken play. Plus, it would be nice if Johnny Manziel was out there, not Josh McCown. I'm not taking the cheese. I feel like that one is a little bit of a sucker bet.
See, I feel like the Raiders, at least watching them last week, they are so bad at safety. Frickin' Taylor Mays was playing most of the snaps at safety. They're so banged up in that secondary. To me, they're just waiting for a guy like that to come along and pop the top off on one.
He could, but I mean, couldn't other guys on that team, you know, like Andrew Hawkins could make a play. Like, I feel like there's a million guys who are just kind of another guy there. Travis Benjamin really isn't a special player. He's very small and very fast. He's a bad DeSean Jackson. You know, I guess he can go off every so often, but I feel like we've seen his good games.
It's Christopher Harris, harrisfootball.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at harrisfootball. And Christopher, since I know this is still new for some of our listeners, tell them what you're doing with Harris Football and tell them about the podcast and how they can get it.
Yeah, I mean, it's on iTunes if that's where you get your podcasts, or just go to harrisfootball.com. The front page there has a list of podcast episodes, and somehow it's like a top five sports podcast on iTunes. It's crazy. After just, you know, 6 weeks, it's done way better than I ever expected. I know I carried over a big fan base from my 8 years at ESPN, and that's very nice and very appreciated. I appreciate folks' loyalty. It's been a ton of fun. We have a lot of very smart listeners. We now have people like making song parodies and sending them in. They're a lot better singers than I am, I'll tell you that.
All right, well, how about guitarists, though? They better guitarists?
Well, I mean, clearly no. I mean, you know, let's face it. Yes, I'm sure they're better guitarists. I'm not any good.
All right, Christopher. Well, we appreciate the information as always, man. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
All right, good luck on all your tickets this week.
All right. I hope I have a good run in FanDuel this week. This is my last week. I was terrible and I was in that Sunday Million. I was awful. This is my week. I can feel it.
I
can feel it. And you've seen the team. You helped me put my team together.
So. I disagree with him on Travis Benjamin. I think if you're looking at Travis Benjamin as a long hold, that's not a wise move.
Yeah, but for FanDuel,
for a 1 week against the Raiders, they can be, if they're going to be beat, that's how they're going to be beat, is deep. And when you've got a guy who's all he does is hit home runs, that's the kind of guy you want, especially on the cheap.
All right. We come back. We've been awful sportsy here the entire hour. Remember yesterday people were complaining because we were not sportsy
yesterday
enough?
Yesterday was Wednesday.
And then today we've been completely sportsy. So we're going to have a Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day when we come back, and it's not sportsy at all.
Good.
So there. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Texas Oklahoma State College Football, 2:30 Saturday on ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hey, you know who you're going to join Saturday for College Game Day Party presented by Coors Light at Luke Seiss House?
Me.
AJ freaking Hoffman. Our feature game of the day is Texas A&M taking on Arkansas. We'll be out on the deck beginning at 6 for the kickoff. Catch a cold silver bullet with us and register to win tickets to see Texas take on Kansas State with a free night stay at Red Roof Inn, courtesy of ESPN and 97.5 and Coors Light. Tonight at 7, HD show, Fred Davis and Henry Thomas. Saw them out there warming up in the bullpen. And Longhorn Weekly with Charlie Strong at 9 o'clock. I have a good feeling about the Longhorns Saturday. Don't ask me why. I think Oklahoma State's pretty good, but I have a good feeling. Austin, any plays tonight? I'm going to go ahead and take the Giants -3, not for a bunch because my butt still hurts from last week from the beating I took. I got Ed Norton in the shower. Yeah.
I'm on the under 45. I tweeted it out earlier.
Okay. So there you go. All right. Let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Well, you knew this was going to start happening. Selfies were going to become dangerous. It's official. More people have died from selfies this year than shark attacks.
I heard that selfie sticks aren't going to be allowed at the Texas State Fair.
Yeah.
But you can still carry a handgun. Well, but selfie sticks are too dangerous
to have Texas.
At the State Fair.
This is Texas. That's okay.
You can have selfie sticks, you can have handguns and fried Dr. Pepper.
Right.
But you can have selfie sticks, but you can't have fried Dr. Pepper and handguns. That's the rules.
Well, this is
I think that's right.
AJ, this is Texas. That's how it's supposed to be. I don't carry them selfie sticks around. Those things are dumb.
If you're going to use a selfie stick, what they suggest you do is duct tape your cell phone to the end of your long-barreled rifle,
right,
which is allowed in the State Fair, your musket, and use that.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That way, if you need to shoot somebody, you can. Just take your phone off there first. You don't want that happening. I kind of think selfie sticks are stupid anyway, but you know, that is
I did think it was funny that they're outlawing it.
Yeah. Well, they did that at the Kentucky
like
Derby.
During the pat down, they're like, "All right, there's your gun. That's cool. What's this, sir? A selfie stick?
No, it goes on a pennant. I just haven't put the pennant on it yet. It's not really a selfie stick. But here's why. This is why people are dying from selfies. AJ, a 66-year-old Japanese tourist. and I just have this image in my head of a 66-year-old Japanese tourist with taking selfies. But there's nothing stereotypical about that. But his travel companion was injured, and he died after falling downstairs while attempting to take a selfie at the Taj Mahal. I'm guessing he might have had a little bit to drink, too.
Hard times.
But selfie-related death toll, up to 12. Shark attack death toll, 8. So selfies are beating sharks when it comes to death.
Well, that's good. I can choose not to be in a selfie, I suppose.
Yeah, you can choose not to be in the ocean, too.
I typically do. But
this story, and it says, it sounds like a joke, but unfortunately it isn't. The deaths are a tragic reminder to travelers that focusing on a phone screen instead of unfamiliar surroundings is not safe.
Unfamiliar surroundings, yeah. Like the Taj Mahal. Very dangerous.
4 of the selfie deaths this year, like the tourist, identified as Hiditu Ueda, were caused by falling. Some of the others, parks have closed because visitors keep trying to take selfies with bears. Yeah. So let this be a lesson to you. Be careful with your selfies. And Russia actually had to, they basically have a warning now because some guy died in Russia. But here we've had 12 people die from selfies. Ugh,
such a shame. Such a shame. Such a waste of life.
Well,
do you think someone picks up their phone and then like posts it to their social media because that's what they would have wanted?
I would hope so. Well, especially
like if I take a picture like that that's so badass I'm willing to die for it, I damn sure hope someone tweets it out for me.
Well, and I hope that as you're falling down the stairs, you at least get a shot of yourself right before you die.
Yeah. That one would probably be inappropriate to post.
Really?
But it'd be good for your loved ones to have.
Oh, but it's okay for YouTube to have a video of Saddam Hussein getting hung, but some poor Japanese guy falling down the stairs.
Yeah, Fred, Saddam Hussein was a bad guy. This Japanese guy was about peace and love.
How do you know that? You don't know him.
I'm just assuming.
Uh-huh.
He was selfieing he was at about the Taj Mahal.
He was about being in pieces when he got to the bottom that's of those stairs. True. Anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day. Gunnar Kiel a go for the for the Bearcats tonight. I almost said the Bengals. Mm. Cincinnati Bearcats. The line
that got up to 10 when he was.
It's been affected. The line has moved down to 8, and the over has gone up 1.5. So Vegas has adjusted, but if you're playing that game, if you wanted Memphis, I hope you took it when it was at 10 yesterday, because Cincinnati's gotten a lot better now that they've got their starting quarterback.
713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. All right, we've been really sportsy, and then we were just non-sportsy. You know what we're going to do when we come back? I don't either. You'll have to tune in to find out. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.